Today's daf is Tmura Lamed Bet. We're going to start at the Mishnah at the top of the page. In the previous Mishnah, we compared Kodshei Mizbeach to Kodshei Bet HaKabayit. Again, Kodshei Mizbeach are items that are sanctified to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, generally animals and birds. Kodshei Bet HaKabayit are items that are sanctified for use in for the temple. And Kodshei Mizbeach are generally Kedushat HaGuf. Their body is sanctified, and Kedushat Bet HaKabayit is Kedushat Damim. Only the value of it is sanctified to the Beit HaMikdash. Our Mishnah is going to talk about things that are similar between the two, although we're going to see later on it's not so clear that everybody thinks that all of these things apply to both Kodshei Mizbeach and Kodshei Bet HaKabayit. Echad Kodshei Mizbeach ve'echad Kodshei Bet HaKabayit en mishanin otam mikdusha l'kedusha. You can't change the status of it from Kedusha to Kedusha, meaning if you designated it for one particular korban, you can't switch it to be used for a different korban. And likewise, if you sanctified something for Kedusha Mizbeach, you can't switch it to Kodshei Bet HaKabayit or the reverse. If you've sanctified it for Kedusha Bet HaKabayit, you can't switch it to Kedusha Mizbeach. Umakdishin ota hekdesh iloi. What does this mean? You can, though, add Kedusha to it. Meaning, if I have something that's Kedushat Mizbeach, I have an animal, and then I say I'm sanctifying it in addition to Kedushat Bet HaKabayit, I can do that. What does that mean? Theoretically, what might you say? It's pretty obvious. Once, in order to sanctify something, you have to own it. If I already sanctified the animal for the Mizbeach, then I don't own it anymore. So what could I possibly be sanctifying to Bet HaKabayit? So the answer is that, and we saw this in the past, that there's certain value, even though I've sanctified it to the Beit HaMikdash, I still have ownership over it. So if I sanctify an animal, and I say I'm using this animal for a korban, for a sacrifice, there's two ways I can do that. Let's say it's a voluntary offering. So if it's, let's say it's a voluntary burnt offering, if I say, Hare alai ola, this is upon me to bring this animal as an ola, then I'm chayav ba'achoryut, as we say. I'm responsible. If something happens to the animal, I have to replace it. That means that I still have the full value of the animal. I have ownership over it because I have responsibility. So if it was Hare alai, which is a neder, then I would be responsible. And then I said, I'm giving this animal to the temple for Bet HaKabayit purposes. I'm responsible to give the entire value of the animal because I still have responsibility of the entire value of that animal. If I said harezo, which is a nidava, then I say this animal is. Now, at that point, I have no achrayut. So theoretically, I shouldn't have any rights to the animal anymore because if something happens to that animal, I don't even have to replace it. But what rights do I have? I have rights to decide that I want to give the hide of that animal, right? That's the only part of the offering that goes to the of the burnt offering that goes anywhere, it goes to the Kohen. I can choose which Kohen I want to give it to. So that means, since I can choose which Kohen it goes to, therefore I have rights to, I have what we call Tovat Hana'ah. Theoretically, a Yisrael who has a relative that's a Kohen, okay, I'm a Bak Kohen, my husband is a Yisrael, so theoretically he could go pay someone money to give it to, let's say, my relatives, okay? So he could pay a Yisrael who has this offering, even though he has no rights to it, he could still get paid money in order to give the hide to a particular Kohen. So in that case, that in the Nedeva, that's the amount of money, the amount that someone would pay him to give the hide to the Kohen would be relevant. Rashi gives the example of the hide. The Rambam actually disagrees, and this is just an interesting aside, that the Rambam says there's another source that shows that you can't choose who you want to give the hide to. The hide actually gets divvied up by the Kohanim of that Mishmar equally. So there's a debate. It's just interesting in terms of, can one decide who he gives which gifts to? In other words, certain gifts one can decide about. For example, Truma. Truma I can give to whatever Kohen I want. Whereas the hide, there's a machloket between Rashi and the Rambam here, it seems, about whether it just gets divided up or I can actually choose which Kohen I want to give it to. Which is just, again, an interesting issue about the Kohanim. You know, if you think about it, the whole idea was to make things equal. On the other hand, you see that people bought and sold rights to to get these gifts, which is almost sounds a little bit counterintuitive. If the whole idea is to make everyone equal, then maybe it's unfair if certain Kohanim can get more rights than others, if someone can pay for them to get their gift. But anyway, there's so the Matnot Kuna divvy up a little bit by ones that it's obvious who they go to, and other ones, and we've talked about this in the past, where one can actually, you know, determine who they want to give it to. Okay, so that's Makdishim Otan Hekdesh Iloy. Umachrimin Otan. You can also say that these items are cherem, and in the same way, cherem, we learned about cherem. Cherem is, I say this item is cherem, and it could, if I could say cherem la'ashem, where it goes to Bet Kabayit, I could say cherem la'kohanim, where it goes to the Kohanim. So again, if I have this animal that's sanctified for the Mizbeach, by the way, this is where I said before, even though it says Echad Kodshei Mizbeach ve'Echad Kodshei Bet Kabayit, these seem to be referring specifically to Kodshei Mizbeach only, which seems to be a little odd. But the Mishnah, when it started off, that they're relevant in both cases, these seem to be only relevant to one. Machrimim, and then, so I could say something's Cherem la'Hashem, I could say something's Cherem la'Kohanim, and if it's to the Kohanim, then it goes to the Kohanim. If it's to Hashem, it goes to Hashem. If it goes to Hashem, then it can be redeemed. If it goes to the Kohanim, it can't get redeemed, it just goes straight to the Kohen. It's unclear here where we mean Cherem Kohanim or Cherem la'Hashem. Also, if you just say Stam Cherem, then there's a machloket about whether Stam Cherem is la'Hashem or to the Kohanim. But what we say here is, again, if you say something is sanctified for the altar, and then you also say it's Cherem, so again, it would depend whether it was a neder and a neva about what value you would give as the Cherem. We'll get more into this issue of the Cherem in the Gemara. V'imetu yikavru, this line is going to be very hard to understand. The Gemara is going to get into it. The question is, which one is it referring to? Is it referring to Kodshei Bet HaKabayit or Kodshei Mizbeach? That if they die, they have to be buried. Okay, so if you have an animal, obviously we're only talking about animals, but it could be an animal for Kodshei Mizbeach or it could be an animal for Kodshei Bet HaKabayit, and we're not sure which one this is referring to. If they die, then they get buried, meaning you can't redeem them once they're dead. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kodshei Bet HaKabayit Imetu Yipadu. Rabbi Shimon says specifically when it comes to the Bet HaKabayit, if they die, then they can be redeemed, but he would obviously hold the Kodshei Mizbeach can't be redeemed. Okay, why would items not be able to be redeemed? So there's two possible reasons. We'll see that the Gemara seems to be going along with mainly one of them. One possible reason is, this goes back to what we said before, that redemption, okay, redemption happens with animals that are sanctified for the Mizbeach, for the altar, when they get a blemish. And then we can redeem them only for what purpose? To eat them. Now, in this case, if the animal died on its own, so there's no purpose to, there's no way to redeem it because you can only redeem it to eat. And once it died on its own, it's obviously not kosher. And we learned this at the end of yesterday's Afrit L'Achila, but not for the klavim, not for sending to your dogs. That would be the only thing you could do with an animal that died. The second reason is that we learn from a pasuk, we'll see this pasuk later, that when it talks about redeeming, it says you have to stand up, you have to lahamid, vehemid, I'll read it now actually, that v'im kol be'emah t'me'ah asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban la'ashem, if you have a be'emah that you can't, that's t'me'ah, we'll talk about what t'me'ah means, later they'll learn it means that it got a mum, it became blemished, that you can't sacrifice as a korban, it says v'hemid et ha-be'emah lefnei ha-kohen. You stand up the behemah before the Kohen, the next pasuk says, and then you evaluate how much it's worth, and then you redeem it. So what do you see here? The animal needs to be stood up before the Kohen. The animal is dead, it obviously can't be stood up, and therefore there's no haracha without ha'amada, without standing it up, and that's why imetu yipadu. That's why imetu yikavru. That's why it has to be buried, because it's not b'hamada v'aracha. And Rabbi Shimon basically says that's only by Kodshei Mizbeach, as it seems like the context of that pasuk, which I just read, which was about an animal bal mum that couldn't go on the Mizbeach. But when it comes to Bet HaKabayit, you don't need hamada v'aracha. We're going to get into this. It's going to be a little more complicated than it seems right now. Because the question is, what a chachamim thing? Do they think it's both? Do they think it's only one? It's unclear. They don't say whether they're talking about Kodshei Bet HaKabayit or Kodshei Mizbeach. Sounds like they're saying both need hamadavahara, you know, both have to be buried only because they can no longer stand. And Rabbi Shimon thinks it's only Kodshei Bet HaKabayit. Okay, the Gemara starts out, Amar Rav Huna. Kodshei Mizbeach shehit pisan l'chermei kohanim lo asa klum. If you take kodshei mizbeach, things that are sanctified for the altar, and you said they're going to be used, I'm going to take these and give them to the kohanim, lo asa klum, it's meaningless. Okay, this is obviously going to be difficult with our Mishnah, because what did we say in our Mishnah? Again, assuming our Mishnah in that case was talking about the kodshei mizbeach, that you could do cherem, right? If you did machrimin otan, it said. We'll get back to that soon. Right now, we're just talking about Rav Huna. And Rav Huna without the context of our mission. My time, what's the reason why it's an irrelevant act? Amar kra, kol cherem kodesh kodashim ula Hashem. They say, any cherem, this is the pasuk of Al-Charamim, one of the pasukim. It says, any cherem is kodesh kodashim, the holy of holies to Hashem. So what is he darshin? Kol cherem de kodesh kodashim have la Hashem hu. Okay, that's a bit of a different girsa here than what's written. Any cherem, this kodesh kodeshim, how does he darshan this? It's la Hashem hu. The way he understands this pasuk is any cherem that is kodesh kodeshim, right, that comes from kodesh mizbeach, la Hashem hu, it was already all given to Hashem, meaning it was part of the mizbeach, and cherem is not relevant to it. Okay, meaning, what do they understand cherem to be here? Cherem kohanim. And therefore, since it's cherem kodesh kodashim la Hashem, any kodesh kodashim all goes to Hashem and can't go to the kohanim at all. And therefore, there's no such thing as a kodesh mizbeach that you give as cherem to the kohanim. So before they ask from our Mishnah, they're now going to ask a question from a bright, Meitivei. Kodesh bedek habayit shit pisan, if you take bedek habayit that you were matpis, ben lekodesh mizbeach, ben lecherme kohanim, okay, you took Bet HaKabayit, and now you designated something that was for Bet HaKabayit for the Mizbeach, or for Cherem of Kohanim, Lo Asah Klum. It's an irrelevant act. It was already, why is that? We said already, because it's not yours to offer up, right? It already belongs to the Mikdash, so anything you do is irrelevant. Cherme Kohanim, if you gave something to a Kohen in a Cherem manner, Shit Pisan, then you said, I'm going to attach some other kedusha to it. Bein lekodesh mizbeach, whether you say it's going to the mizbeach, bein lekodesh bedek habayit, or whether you say it's going to bedek habayit, again, lo asa klum. Why? Because it doesn't belong to you. Now notice which two things are mentioned here, specifically kodesh bedek habayit and the cherem. But what's not mentioned here? Kodesh mizbeach. So what can one infer? Ha kodesh mizbeach, shehidpis lecherme kohanim, masha asa asoy. It sounds like if you took kodesh mizbeach and you said these are going to cherem kohanim because it's not mentioned in this list, it must work. And that goes against Yuvta de Rav Huna. That goes against Rav Huna, who said that any cherem, any kedushat mizbeach that you then do cherem on is not effective. So Amar lecha Rav Huna, Rav Huna would answer, oh no, the fact that that brayta didn't mention kodesh mizbeach. Okay, this, if you notice, each thing had two possibilities. It was kodesh bedek habayit, that you were matpis either for kodesh mizbeach or for chermei kohanim. And then there was chermei kohanim, that you were matpis either for kodesh mizbeach or kodesh bedek habayit, right? There's three options here. So for each item, there's two options for it. So kodesh mizbeach, which was removed from the list, right, neglected, was not mentioned in the list. We wanted to infer from there that it was not mentioned because if you would do chermei kohanim, it wouldn't be effective. It would be effective, and that would go against Rav Huna. But now they say, no, kishaira ahada shaira. They left it out because, not because of the cherem. If you did it for cherem, it wouldn't be effective. The reason why they left it out is for the following. Tekodshe mizbeach shit pisan lebede kabayit masha sasui. It's dafke if you had kodshe mizbeach, and then you said, in addition, I'm giving this animal also kodshe mizbede kabayit for the upkeep of the temple, that would work. But when it comes to cherem kohanim, because of the special drasha that it said in the pasuk, kol cherem kodesh kodashim hu la Hashem, which came to teach you that if it's already kodesh kodashim, it can't be cherem. It can't be cherem. You can't give it. It only can go la Hashem and not to the kohanim. That we could still say is excluded. They just didn't mention it in the braita because they didn't want to say kodesh mizbeach shit pisan lebedek habayit because that is effective. But kodesh mizbeach shit pisan lecherem kohanim would lo asa velo klum, right? Aval lecherem kohanim lo asa klum. So then they say, but that doesn't make any sense. That if you wanted that, it should have said, v'litnie gabe hanach, Tana, Lina Gabe Hanach, if really this was also a case of law Savala Klum, how should the Brite have written it? It should have said, Kodshe Berakabai, it doesn't work either for Mizbeach or for Chem. Kodshe Charamim, if you do it for Berakabai, do it for Mizbeach, it doesn't work. And Kodshe Mizbeach, if you do it for Charamim, it doesn't work. And then you'd be left with, okay, Kodshe Mizbeach, that you did for Berakabai, it would work. So why didn't it specify that? So they very simply say, Tana de ipe tarte katane, de lepe tarte lo katane. The Tana of the Mish of the Braita there only mentioned things that aren't relevant to both cases. Whereas since Kodshe Mizbeach is a split, they just didn't bring that up in the Braita. Okay, it seems strange if they're already specifying, why wouldn't they specify and say this one in one way yes and in one way it doesn't work? But they kind of say that the Braita was just listing things that neither option works. So then the Gemara says, okay, but now we're going to have a question of Rav Huna from our Mishnah, as I mentioned earlier. Tnan says in our Mishnah, Umakdishin otan hekdesh iloi. Okay, now you have to add the words, Umachrimin otan. Those are the important words, even though it doesn't say it here, right? What does it say in our Mishnah? You could be machrimim otan. Now, my love, Hekdesh Eloi Lebedek Abai. It isn't when it's talking about Hekdesh Eloi, what's it talking about? To take Kodshe Mizbeach and do an additional Hekdesh to Bedek Abai. And therefore, Machrimim would also be Lecherme Kohen. So when you do the Cherem, we're talking about Cherme Kohen. And then that would go against Rav Huna. Now notice in the Mishnah, it didn't say Machrimim, what we're talking about. Maybe it means Machrimim is Lashem. But the Gemara is assuming we meant Machrimim is to give to the Kohen, which would then go against Rav Huna, who said, no, kol cherem, remember, kodesh kodeshim u la'ashem, meaning if it's kodesh kodeshim, it can only go la'ashem. And once you make something kodesh mizbeach, you can't do cherem kohanim anymore. So then they say, lo, don't assume that hekdesh ilo was the bedek habayit and machrimim was cherem kohen. Idi v'idi kodesh bedek habayit. Both of them are referring to kodesh bedek habayit. V'lo shna mapik luhu b'lashon hekdesh l'bedek habayit. Veloshna mapik lehu b'lashon cherme lebedek habayit. What they're saying now is that the cherem that we were talking about there wasn't cherme kohanim. Why they think it was cherme kohanim? Because they assumed cherem la'ashem is basically bedek habayit. It's the same thing. It's just you said it b'lashon cherem rather than I'm sanctifying this to the Beit HaMikdash, you know, b'lashon hekdesh. But, and that's why they assumed, since it said machrimim and hekdesh iloi, one was referring to bedek habayit and one was referring to the kohanim. But now they're saying, no, really they're both kodesh bedek habayit. And what they're telling you is, it doesn't matter if you were mapik b'lashon hekdesh, the bedek habayit, if the wording you used was lashon of hekdesh, lo shena mapik b'lashon bedek habayit. It doesn't, lashon cherme bedek habayit. It doesn't matter if you said cherem lashem. Either which way, the neder will be effective on Kedushat Mizbeach. But what does that show? That proves, Rav Huna, that you could say that our Mishnah wasn't referring at all to Cherme Kohani. But then they say, no, but Halo Tanehachi, but wait, wasn't the following Braita used to explain our Mishnah? And here's what the Braita says. Titanya Bebraita, Hekdesh Eloi, Kodshe Bedek Habayit, Machrimin Otan Cherme Kohani. Here it says explicitly what we suggested earlier to contradict Rav Huna, that when it says Hekdesh Eloi, it means Kodshe Bedek Habayit, and when it says Machrimim Otam, it means Cherme Kohanim. That's question number one, where we really seem to be stuck then with Rav Huna, because it does say it can go to Cherme Kohanim if it was sanctified already for the altar. Again, what does this mean? It means that if I said this animal that I already sanctified for a korban is also going to be cherem l'kohanim, what do I give to the kohen? Again, it depended whether it was a ned or nedava. If it was a ned, I give its entire value because I still have responsibility for that animal. If I said it in the lashon of a nedava, this behema, this animal, then I would have to give only the value of the tovat hana, the amount of money I would have gotten from someone to give the hide to the kohen, or to give some part of it to the kohen, to a particular kohen. Ve'od, and additionally, another problem against Rav Huna. Hatanya, doesn't it say in a Braita, Kodshe Mizbeach Shikdisho L'Cherme Kohanim, Masha Sasui. If I did Kodshe Mizbeach and I sanctify them to Cherem Kohanim, what I did is effective. And Rav Huna said it's not. So they answer and they say, you're right, Tiyuvta to Rav Huna, Tiyuvta. Okay, it's a question that's Rav Huna, and in fact, the question stands. So then they say, wait, but Ha Rav Huna Krak Amar, but didn't he have a verse to support his statement? So how could we, that's what, we're going to pick a Braita over a Pasuk? Seems problematic. Or a Mishnah over a Pasuk? The Pasuk said it. He darshened it from the Pasuk. Amar Ula, Amar Kra, Cherem Kol Cherem. So Ula says, no, really that Pasuk, there's a different Pasuk, which includes, even though Rav Huna might understand the Pasuk that way, we have something else which includes showing that you could take Kodshei Mizbeach and dedicate it to a Kohen. How so? The Pasuk that we read before says, it starts off by saying, Kol Cherem. Okay, this is the Pasuk. Ach Kol Cherem Asher Yecharam Ish LaHashem. Right? Any Cherem that a person sanctifies, Mikol Asher Lo, from anything he owns, Me'adam U'Be'ema, Misteach U'Zato, Lo Yimacher V'Lo Yiga'el, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodashim U'LaHashem. So, Rav Huna Darsh in the end of that Pasuk. But well, the truth is, this is also not just the beginning of the Pasuk. It says Kol Cherem twice, actually. So when the Pasuk says Kol Cherem, what's it coming to teach you? That Cherem applies to anything, even Kodshei Mizbeach. So if you take Kodshei Mizbeach and you say they're Cherem, that applies. And he learns it from Kol Cherem. So now they're going to question Ula about this. And again, we've knocked out Rav Huna, basically. Could Ula really say that Charmei Kohanim are going to be effective even if it's Kodshei Mizbeach? V'harmar Ula, doesn't Ula say, didn't he say some other place? Hamatpis Ola lebedek habayit, ein ba'ela ikuv gizbarim bilvad. If I took a korban ola, a burnt offering that I had offered already, I took an animal that I had offered as a korban ola, and I said, this ola is going to bedek habayit, so what did I basically do? I did nothing other than, okay, now this is interesting. If you bring a korban ola, you're supposed to be there when the sacrifice, when the offering gets offered. Okay, this comes up in Tanit, Daf Kafav. And they say that based on the fact that, he'ach, korbano shel adam karev, like how could your korban be being sacrificed and you're not there? Makes no sense. So how could it possibly be? So therefore, if you sanctify a korban ola, you have to be there when it's sacrificed. Now, if I say my korban ola is going to bedek habayit, what am I basically saying? That the bedek habayit has ownership rights to this ola also, but it doesn't really, because I can't give away ownership. But what does it mean? The ikuv gizbarim bilvad, that means that we have to wait till the gizbar, representative of the mikdash, comes, the treasurer, comes to stand by the side of the korban while it's being sacrificed. So in this case, it's going to mean that for sacrificial purposes, who needs to be standing with it? The original owner and the gizbar. That's what it means. And that's the only thing it means. That seems to say that how could Ula darshan the pasuk kol cherem to say that you could be matpis ola lebedek habayit, that if you take an ola and you give it to the, you say it's cherem, that the cherem is effective. When according to this, it says, no, the only thing that's effective is that the gizbar of the Beit HaMikdash has to be standing by the korban. So the Gemara answers that when Ula darshan this pasuk, mida rabbanan, okay, really he was only darshaning on a derabbanan level. Mida oraita, all you have is yikuv gizbarim. Mida rabbanan, the owner still has to give part of the value to a kohen as cherem. But that's only mida rabbanan. Ukra, and then you would say, so first of all, you have a pasuk. So what does he do with the pasuk kol cherem? We call that an asmachta da alma. He only learns derabbanan, that the pasuk means that. Mida oraita, it wouldn't mean that. Then you have to explain, what does Ula do with kol cherem on a deoraita level? So that he says, ukra lemeilu hudaata. The pasuk is coming to teach you that meila, when it comes to charmei kohanim, there is a din of meila, meaning, right, what's me'ila? Me'ila is misuse of consecrated property by accident. You have to bring an asham me'ilo to korban, and you have to pay back the value of the item plus an additional fifth. So the pasuk's teaching you that there's a din of me'ila also by charmei kohanim, and not just items that belong to the Beit HaMikdash, but even items that belong to the kohen, there's a din of me'ila. So then they say, wait a minute, le me'ila, lama likra? Why do I need a pasuk for me'ila? kodshei kodshim ketiv bei. It already says that they're kodshei kodshim. And if you say something's kodshim, right, that was the end of that pasuk that we darshan before, that Rav Huna darshan. Kodshei kodashim hula, kodesh kodashim hula Hashem. So if it's kodesh kodashim la Hashem, if cherim is considered kodesh kodashim, obviously there's a din of me'ila, because any consecrated item will have a din of me'ila if it's consecrated for sure, kodshei kodashim, you know, if it says it about it in a pasuk. So right now we're stuck because, again, let's just review. Ula, who said that kol cherim comes to say that even an item can become cherim even if you dedicated a kodshei mizbeach to cherim, that will be applicable. He says that's only derabanan. The pasuk kol cherim really is including that there's a din of me'ila by cherim. Now they say you don't even need a pasuk kol cherim to teach there's a din of me'ila because it already says kodesh kodashim. And any kodesh kodashim will obviously have a din of me'ila. So now what are we obviously going to question? Is it really obvious that anything that's kodesh kodashim will have a din of me'ila? V'litamech, hadam Rabbi Yanai, ein me'ila mefureshet min haTorah, ela be'ola bilvad. Rabbi Yanai said there's only a din of me'ila from the Torah on a for an korban ola. Shenemar, why? Because the pasuk by me'ila says, in Vayikra He, Pasuk Tefav, Nefesh Kitim Omal, V'chata Abishkaga Mikodshe Hashem. What did they learn Mikodshe Hashem? Only HaMiyuchadim LaHashem. Because notice, Mekodshe, they always usually say that since it says a mem from the Kodeshim, not all of them, and which one are we going to say? Well, there must be the best of the best. What's that? The Ola. Aval Chatat Ba'asham, Lo Nafka Elami Derebi. But Chatat and Asham, we don't learn from the Pasuk there. We learn it from a different Pasuk. Where did Rebbe darshan the Chatat and Asham have a din of Me'ila? And once we darshan that there's a different Pasuk for Me'ila by Chatat and Asham, it clearly says in the Pasuk there, Kodesh Kodashim. If Kodesh Kodashim meant automatically din of Me'ila, like we tried to say with Cherem against Ula, then you wouldn't need a separate Pasuk for Chatat Asham. Okay, so that's going to be the question on that. So Chatav Asham Lo Nafkalei Amila DeRebbe DeTanya. Rebbe Omer, it says in the Braita, Rebbe says, Kol Chelev LaHashem. Okay, this is in Vayikra Gimel, Pasuk Tetzayin. It says, V'hiktiram HaKohen HaMizbecha. We're talking about Kodshim Kalim here. He burns them on the Mizbech. Lechem Yishel Reach Nichoch, Kol Chelev LaHashem. The Chelavim, right, the Chelev, the fats that are supposed to get burnt on the Mizbech from the Korban Shlamim. So what do they say? Kol chelev LaHashem. So this is about kodshim kalim, like a korban shlamim. What does that teach you? Kol chelev LaHashem. Why does it say kol? Lirabot imurei kodshim kalim lemi'ila. This teaches you, you know, you might have thought kodshim kalim are allowed for the owner to be eaten. So therefore, maybe there's no din of me'ila at all because they're permitted to the owner. But what do we say? No. Only the parts that are forbidden to the owner that are permitted to the owner don't have a din of me'ila, but the parts that are supposed to be burned on the mizbeach of the shlamim, that's going to have a din of me'ila. So therefore, what do they say? And then they and Rabbi Yanai holds that from this drasha of Rebbe that's relating to shlamim about the imurim, the stuff that gets burned from the shlamim, there's a din of me'ila. Likewise, he learns from there to chatan and asham that there's a din of me'ila also by them, by the parts that get burned. Because again, Chatat and Asham are the same as Shlamim in this sense, that the difference between them is Shlamim, the owner gets to eat the meat, whereas Chatat and Asham, only the Kohen eats the meat. But in any case, there's no din of Me'ila by the meat because the Kohen gets to eat it, so obviously it's not fully consecrated. But the parts that get burned of the Chatat and Asham are just like the parts that get burned of the Shlamim, and they have a din of Me'ila. But again, they have a din of me'ila, not because it says kodshei kodshim by them, but they have a din of me'ila because of the special drasha of kol chelev. So therefore, the Gemara says, so lama likra kodshei kodshim k'tibu. So as I mentioned, so then why do you need a special pasuk by chatav asham if kodshei kodshim is written by there? So what do they answer? Ela afal gav de kodshei kodshim k'tibu, even though it says kodshei kodshim, which theoretically would have taught you the din of me'ila, by kra le rabu yinu le me'ila. You still need a pasuk to teach you the din of me'ila. Why? Charamim nami af agav dekotche kotchim ktiv behu baikra l'rabu yinhu l'me'ila. So now we say like this. Even though it says kotche kotchim, it's obvious that kotche kotchim doesn't teach you the din of me'ila. And that's why both by, and that's why Ula says that, again, where do we start? Ula said, Kol Cherem, we said is only, again, the Gemara said, is only a Darabanan Trasha when it comes to our issue of Kol Cherem comes to say that Kodshei Mizbeach can also become Cherem. That's only Darabanan, Mida Oraita, not. And the Pasuk Kol Cherem is Lemi'ila. Why do we need a Pasuk for Me'ila if it already says Kodshei Kodshim? Because clearly Kodshei Kodshim doesn't necessarily teach you Din of Me'ila, and we learned that from Chatad and Asham. Gufa. So again, where, let's just clarify, where does that bring us? That brings us to Ula, who went against, right, who, Rav Huna, who had said there is no din of Cherem by Kodshei Mizbeach. Ula says there is a din of Cherem by Kodshei Mizbeach for Cherem of the Kohanim. As Rav Huna would say, it's only Cherem LaHashem, but not Cherem to the Kohanim. Ula would say, you do have to give, if I have a korban, an animal I gave for the Mizbeach, and I said, this animal is also cherem to the Kohanim, really, Mida Oraita, the only thing it means is that the gizbar, they have to send a representative, like the treasurer, has to stand by the korban when it becomes sacrificed. But Mida Rabbanan, they make me also give the value of it to the Kohen. Again, the value will depend whether it was a ned or a nedava. And that's because the drasha kol cherem is only a derabanan drasha. Okay, gufa. Now we're going back to this case about ikuv gizbarim. Hamakdish olah lebedek habayit ein ba'ela ikuv gizbarim bilvad. It only has ikuv gizbarim, that the gizbarim have to stand there while I sacrifice it. So meitivin. Now they bring a question from a braita. Hamakdish olah lebedek habayit asur leshochata ad shetipadeh. If I sanctify an olah for bedek habayit, I can't slaughter it. Okay, now this, we're obviously talking about a case where it has a mum. I'm going to redeem it. Sorry, I got confused about the mum. Forget the mum. If you're makdish an ola lebedek habayit, this is our case. Okay, you take an ola that you already designated as an ola, and now you sanctify for bedek habayit. Asur l'shochata ad shetipadeh. You can't slaughter it until you pay the value of it to bedek habayit. This seems to go against Ula, because Ula said, Midoraita, there's really, it's only Ikuv Gizbarim. You don't actually owe the money to the Bedek Habayit. So, what does the Gemara obviously answer? Midorabanan. It's only Midorabanan that you can't do this. So then, and then they say, to support this, Hachinami Mistabra, Midkatani Seifa, the more so it could be proven, because what does it say in the end here? Ima Varvish Ushachata Masha Sasui. But if you anyway slaughtered it before you gave the value to the Bedek Habayit, it's valid. The korban is valid, which means it clearly is only midrabanan. The elamai midrabanan. Wait, do you really think it's only drabanan? Ihachi ema seifa. But then the seifa, again, there's another problem with the continuation of the braita. It says umoalim shtei meilot. But if you slaughtered it without redeeming it, then there's a din of meila because you've benefited from this. You benefited from this item, and in two ways that were forbidden. What are the two ways? It was also owed to the Bedek Habayit, and also the Kedusha Mizbeach. V'mi d'rabanan amai shtei mi'ilot. Why would there be two mi'ilot here? There should really only be one, because mi'ilah is a din d'oraita. You're not going to have mi'ilah on something that's only mi'd'rabanan. So what are the answer? Hachi kamar, is a bit of a weak answer. Uruya lim'ol ba shtei mi'ilot. Theoretically, it's something that could theoretically have two me'ilot, even though it really only has one. Okay? In other words, because why is it re'uya for shtei me'ilot? Because midrabanan, it is bedek habayit also. Its value is also for the temple, but it's only midrabanan, and that's why it's only re'uya. Now we're going to try to understand this last part of the Mishnah, which was quite complicated. V'metu yikavru. Start with this. We won't finish the whole thing today, but we're going to get into machlok at Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish about Hamadav Haracha. So what did we say? If it dies, you have to bury it and you can't redeem it. Why can't you redeem it? Because it needs to, in order to redeem something, you have to stand it up, and obviously this animal's dead, it can't stand. So Amar B'Yochanan, we had a debate about which case they were talking about. If you remember, in the Mishnah it said, Metu Yikavru, according to Chachamim, he didn't specify Kotche Bet HaKabayit or Kotche Mizbeach. That's what's going to cause the confusion. And Rabbi Shimon seems to disagree, and he says, Kotche Bet HaKabayit in Metu Yipadu. When it comes to Bet HaKabayit, they can be redeemed, which sounds like Rabbi Shimon's clearly saying, Kotche Mizbeach can't be redeemed if they die. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, L'Rabbanan, according to Chachamim here, Tanakama, Echad Kotche Mizbeach, Echad Kotche Bet HaKabayit, Hayu Bechlal Hamada V'Aracha. What type of sacrifice needs Hamada V'Aracha? Both something that was were to go on the, that was supposed to be on the Mizbeach, the Karmum, and also Kotche Bet HaKabayit, when you go to redeem them, in general, Kotche Bet HaKabayit are redeemed. Usually, if you sanctify an animal for the upuse of the temple, they don't always need an animal, often you redeem it. So both of those need to be stood up and redeemed before they die. V'Rish Lakish Amar L'Rabbanan, so meaning the Chachamim, when they say Metu Yikavru, they're talking about both Kotche Mizbeach and Kotche Bet HaKabayit, according to Rabbi Yochanan. V'Rish Lakish Amar, they say no. L'Rabbanan Kotche Bet HaKabayit Hayu B'chlal Hamadav Aracha. Bet HaKabayit Dafka Nid Hamadav Aracha, and that's what Rabbi Shimon's disagreeing. Rabbi Shimon says Kotche Bet HaKabayit in Metu Yipadu. He says, no, Kotche Bet HaKabayit don't need. Tanakam said they do need, and Rabbi Shimon said they don't need. But according to Rabbi Rish Lakish, according to Tanakama, Kotche Mizbeach lo hayu bechlal hamadav aracha. But actual animal sacrifices don't need hamadav aracha. If they were to die, you'd be able to redeem them, even without them being able to stand up. B'zeh v'zeh modeh, and both of them agree that l'Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon is pretty clear, Kotche Bet HaKabayit lo hayu bechlal hamadav aracha, v'kotche Mizbeach hayu bechlal hamadav aracha. Okay, they both agree, number one, that Kotche Bet HaKabayit, according to Rabbi Shimon, don't need Hamadav Aracha, and that's why Yemetu Yipadu, and it's Dafka Kotche Mizbeach that need Hamadav Aracha. That according to Rabbi Shimon, he would agree, well, not agree. According to, what's interesting here is according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon agrees about Kotche Mizbeach that they need Hamadav Aracha, and therefore Yemetu Yikavru. According to Rish Lakish, Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon are polar opposites. Because Rish Lakish said, according to Tanakama, that Bet HaKabayit needs Hamadav Aracha. And according to Rabbi Shimon, only Kotche Mizbeach needs Hamadav Aracha. Okay, so they totally flip. Whereas according to Rish Lakish, Tanakama thinks Kotche Mizbeach don't need Hamadav Aracha, and Rabbi Shimon thinks that they do need Hamadav Aracha. Okay, in other words, it's total opposite. And this is not really relevant to us, but Divrei HaKol, they also both agree that Balmum Meikaro, if you had a Balmum that you sanctified for the Mizbeach, which you can't do, becomes Bet HaKabayit, Lo Haya Bechlal Hamadav Aracha. In that case, since it was never Ra'oi for the Mizbeach, therefore, you actually don't need Hamadav Aracha. Tanan. Now we're going to have a question from our Mishnah on Rish Lakish. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kotche Bet HaKabayit Shemetu Yipadu. So Bishlam Ala Rabbi Yochanan. It makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan, Da'amar l'Rabbanan echad zavi echad zahayu b'chal hamadav aracha. Hainu di'itzruch Rabbi Shimon l'feirushe kotche Bet HaKabayit shemetu yipadu. Look at the structure of the Mishnah. It starts off, Tanakama doesn't specify anything, just says emetu yikavru. Comes Rabbi Shimon and he specifies, no, kotche Bet HaKabayit are not the case. So it makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Tanakama thinks both kotche Mizbeach and kotche Bet HaKabayit, which also matches the beginning of the Mishnah, which said these are things in which kotche Mizbeach and kotche Bet HaKabayit are the same. Comes Rabbi Shimon to say, oh no, but there's a distinction, dafka in this area, between Kotche Mizbeach and Kotche Bet HaKabayit. And that's why he comes in and starts talking about Bet HaKabayit. Ela l'Rish Lakish, lama le'le feirushe, lema imetu yipadu. But according to Rish Lakish, if Tanakama were only talking about Bet HaKabayit, and Rabbi Shimon comes to disagree, then it would make no sense that Rabbi Shimon would start saying, oh no, Kotche Bet HaKabayit imetu yipadu. What do you mean? If that's what Tanakama was talking about, Kotche Bet HaKabayit, they would need to specify Bet HaKabayit. Lema, they should just simply say, Rabbi Shimon, imetu yipadu. All right, I disagree with you about that. If they die, they should be redeemed. So, how will Rish Lakish answer? Amar lecha Rish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon lo hava yada maida amar Tanakama. He actually didn't know what Tanakama was talking about. Was he talking about Kotche Mizbeach? Or was he talking about Bet HaKabayit? Was he talking about both? He had no idea. V'hachi kamarle, and therefore Rabbi Shimon said like this, Kotche Mizbeach, if you're talking about Kotche Mizbeach, modin alach, I agree with you that they have to die because they need Hamadav Aracha. But Kotche Bet HaKabayit, but I disagree about Kotche Bet HaKabayit, imetu yipadu, Because I think by Bet HaKabayit, if they die, then they need to be redeemed. Tanya Kavateh de Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to have a braita to support Rabbi Yochanan. Ve'im kol behemat me'asher le'akrivu mimena. Okay, this is the pasuk that we saw before. If any behemat me'asher le'akrivu mimena korban la'ashem, ve'aminat ha'behema lefnei ha'kohen, ve'aricha kohen ota, bein tov u'bein ra, kerakacha kohen kenye. That's the pasuk about Hamadah v'aracha. Now notice the subject. The subject is behemat me'ah. Now what's a behemat me'ah here? So there's going to be a little bit of a question. Behemat me'ah usually means non-kosher animal. But ve'darshin be'ba'alei mumim she'ipadua kadum adaber. It's talking specifically about an animal that was kochei mizbeach and got a blemish, and then we want to redeem it. So now the braita question, which by the way would obviously support Rabbi Yochanan, because what did Rabbi Yochanan say? That kochei mizbeach need hamadah v'aracha, which is against Rish Lakish, who said, no, kochei mizbeach don't need hamadah v'aracha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's, according to this braita, the subject of this bright, this pasuk is kochei mizbeach. But now the braita questions, why are you saying it's ba'alei mumim? Maybe it's a non-kosher animal. So they say, no, there's a different pasuk that comes to talk about non-kosher animals. Keshehu omer ve'im bebehema hatme'ah upada be'erkacha. And if you were to sanctify a non-kosher animal, then you would basically give its value to the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, Harei Be'emat Me'ah Amor. Therefore, in that pasuk, it's clear they're talking about Be'emat Me'ah. So therefore, Hamani Mekayim. So then what do you do with this pasuk? Im kol Be'emat Me'ah Shelei Akrivu Menu Korban LaHashem. It must be talking about Ba'alei Mumim Shiyipadu. I'm just going to finish up the braita. Yachol Yipadu Al Mum Over. You might have thought that even if there was a mum over, a mum that's going to disappear, you'd be allowed to sacrifice. This doesn't have to do with our issue anymore. We're just we're continuing with the braita. Maybe you could also redeem an animal that has a mum that's going to go away over time. Tamud lamar. Therefore, the pasuk says asher lo yakrivu mimena korban la'Hashem, which means right, it's only something that you can't ever sacrifice. She'ena kriva kol ikar yatzdazo. This case then would be excluded. She'ena kriva hayom ela lamachar. But if you could bring it on the altar in a future date when the moon goes away, then you wouldn't be allowed to redeem it. Va'amar, and now back to our issue. What's clear from here? Va'amar Achmana, since this is the subject is an animal you sanctify for the Mizbeach, and now it gets a moon, Avidla, Hamadah V'aracha, and the Pasuk says you have to do Hamadah V'aracha, which again supports Rabbi Yochanan and goes against Rish Lakish. Okay, tomorrow we're going to continue with where does Rish Lakish come along saying that according to Tanakama, only Bet HaKabayit needs Hamadah V'aracha and not Kedushat Mizbeach.